Live and direct. We at it again. Wednesday, March 31st. You're listening to The Morning Drip. Suleiman Bey. Co-host Hakeem Jabbar. How y'all doing this morning, man? Hope all is well. Hope y'all getting to y'all destination. You know, getting your objectives. Taking care of all your responsibilities. I'm going to start to show off as we usually do. Hope that everybody can hear me well out there. If you're having any problems, please tag in and let me know. So, once again, it is Wednesday, March 31st. Blessed to be alive and well with you guys this morning. And I'm going to start it off to the co-host call in and get him on board. We'll start off with the words of the day. Now, you know, we just started on a series, and the series started off with the word native. So this is our nation series. We'll use the word nation, and we're going to take that word and break that word down. That's what we're doing. So we went into native, understanding what native is, the definition of native. That's in nation, and nationality is in nation. Nation is the root of nationality. Then there's naturalization. That's the word we're going to deal with today. So, yeah, like I said, we wait for my co-host to get in this morning so we can really turn up on these topics that we got for you guys this morning. You know, we're going to be dealing with the strategies to circumvent discrimination, you know, dealing with unity and pooling our resources, you know, trying to create a hedge fund or a trust fund so we can invest. And then we're going to deal with how business formation and how we can tie that into business formation, you know, climb up the corporate ladder, you know, for ourselves so we can employ ourselves, employ our family, and employ our people. So we're going to deal with that. And also I have some topics I want to deal with on the prisoners and the prisoners' conditions and the challenges that they face and that the help that we all got to do. And as you think of that your loved ones just in there and they're getting three meals and they're safe and they're good, that's not the case. There's all kinds of bogus stuff going on. They don't have health care. They've been exposed to black mold. Yeah, they've been exposed to lead. They've been exposed to asbestos. All kinds of stuff going on in there. Nobody knows that. They're getting food with no vitamins, no minerals, no nutrients in it. All the supplements been taken out. So they go order something on commissary. It's full of poisons and tearing their body and immune systems down. You know, on top of that, there's no Medicare. So, yeah, they need people out here working for them, man. And so we're going to have to deal with that. And I'm going to send out something that I've been working with the brothers in the California penal system, in the state system, man. The brothers been in there really studying and working, man. They've really been following the teachers of Noble Swali, man, really just seeing it, man, and understanding this citizenship thing that we're dealing with every day. And, you know, it's a jurisdiction challenge for the brothers and sisters in them places, in them institutions, man. And because, you know, you got to understand that a person had to have jurisdiction in order even to adjudicate on a matter. And we got to understand these things as a people. What does that mean? What does that entail? So that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm going to break down to you. And that's what we're going to go into. So the word today was naturalization. And don't forget, call in number is 914-205-5502. We do have the Almore Consultation, LLC.com. You go to that website, book your free consultation, chop up, learn you how to perform your business properly, get some insights in on that. And then we've got the nonprofit, the Helping Earth Acquire Life Through Humanity also as well. Okay, but I see you. Let's see. Let's get the brother in.
Can you hear me?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, yeah, we all doing it as we do. Alaikum salam. I since you called in, I was just giving the people the words of the day, and then we could go on and cut the floor up and do what we do, man. I'm just explaining to them. We got our series going with dealing with the word nation and understanding how broad it is, dealing with it comes to the word nationality and natives. And today we're dealing with naturalization and actually what that is and what the word say it is so we could get a broader understanding of what's going on. And I know our audience, everybody listening in, The brother Hakeem Jabbar has just, the philosopher, the professor has just joined the show this morning, and we definitely gonna go into depths and detail on our topics. So, which was for I was discussing today the strategies of circumventing discrimination. You feel me? As far as us pooling our resources, unifying, coming together, understanding how to hedge money and business formation and investments. And then, of course, we was going to go into the Afrocentric education as far as taking control of our children and what that means to you versus what other people, the other side of that equation. And I'm quite sure you're going to go into depth and break that down to us this morning as well. So, brothers and sisters, this morning again, I thank y'all for joining the show. It's really, we're trying to bring information to you so we can grow and broaden our understanding, so we can really achieve some things as a people, as a family, as a nation. So the word naturalization, this is out of the Law Dictionary of John Bouvier's Constitutional Law of the United States and the Unions, the American Unions and the States. Understanding, folks, that it's states, there's territories, there's colonial charters going on, there's charters and stuff going on. It's deeper than what we've been taught is going on in life. So the word naturalization, it says, the act by which an alien is made a citizen of the United States of America. Bam. Okay, so it just goes on right there. It's telling you it's about an alien. So you have to understand, are you an alien? And what does it mean by an alien? And if you're from California and another person is from Texas, then you guys are alien to each other. I'm alien to that state and you're alien to this state. That's an alien. So and when it says a person made an alien, and then you could go deeper and you could say, well, if you have African stock and someone's of European stock, then those are alien to each other. Those are foreign nations, foreign country, foreign people. So you got to understand the language and how what's going on with intercourse. And so it goes on to say, be it enacted, that any alien being a free white person may be admitted to become a citizen of the United States. So, for everyone listening, because like I said, well, I'm not going to break everything down for you, but there's things in there that you have to understand, and it's talking about a free white person. So, quite sure our antennas go up, and you've got an idea what you think that is, but that's something to be investigated further, and what's the definition of a free white person? You want to go from the oldest dictionary that you can get, understanding that this stuff was written in older ages. The newer age dictionaries, the definition has been watered down, dumbo, all right? It goes on to say, first, that he shall have declared on earth on oath or affirmation before the supreme, superior, district, or circuit court, or someone of the states, or of the territorial districts of the United States. There you go. Or a circuit or district court of the United States 3 years at least before his admission. And they say, particularly, to renounce forever all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, whatever, and particularly by name, the prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty, whereof such alien may at the time be a citizen or subject. Oh, so you got to denounce royalty? Hold on, listen, y'all. You got to denounce royalty to be naturalized, become a citizen. I don't think I want that if I'm royal, but listen up. Secondly, that he shall, at the time of his application to be admitted, declare on oath or affirmation before someone of the courts aforesaid that he will support the Constitution of the United States, and that he doth absolutely, absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to every foreign potentate, state, or sovereign, whatever, and particularly by name, the prince, potentate, state, or sovereign, whereof he was before a citizen or subject. So you renouncing your citizenship, you renouncing your allegiance to your royalty. Now that's secondly. Thirdly, listen what thirdly says. During that time, he has behaved as a man of good morale character, attached to the principles of the Constitution of the United States, and well disposed to the good order and happiness of the same, And forfeiting is not, it's not lastly, but I wanted to give you this, you guys, so you can see it says forfeiting. That in case the alien applying to be admitted to citizenship shall have borne any hereditary title or being of any of the orders of nobility in the kingdom or state from which he came, he shall, in addition to the above requisites, make an express renunciation of his title or order of nobility in the court to which his application shall be made, which renunciation shall be recorded in the same court. So listen, in order for you to become a citizen, you got to give up your allegiance to your throne if you got one. Man, who gonna do that? And so you, I wouldn't be trying to become no citizen anyway. That's giving up too much. So for us older folks, you remember Coming to America? They made a number two now. And Eddie Murphy came over here. He was royal. And then he really denounced his, gave up his nationality and denounced himself for citizenship in America to work at McDowell's. Remember? And then his pops came over here. He's looking for him, supposed to be getting married. And the next thing you know, they tell him, shit, no matter where he at, the kingdom was really there. So he got married on the soil. They moved him over there. Shit, he married the bride from over here. And they made it like he was coming to America, but the whole time he showed you that his royal oath, no matter where he is, he was entitled to that. You feel me? That's how we've been dumbed down. So what I wanted the people just to see, that naturalized is to grant citizenship to foreign-born persons under statutory authority. So you go give up your natural rights to get statutory, for people to put statutes on you. When statutes are not for flesh and blood, statutes are for corporations. So that's what I want the people to understand what you're dealing with, the wording. You have to get into law dictionaries. You have to get into older dictionaries. You have to study law and understand what a person is. How are you made a citizen and naturalized when everybody else has to go through that process? Everybody has to go through a process to become a U.S. citizen, and they have to have somewhere where they come from. Yeah, state, a place, a people, yeah. We just made a citizen. That doesn't add up. So good morning to you, brother, and the floor is open for us to, you know, just flow, to move and groove like we do. I know your heart is full, man, so you know you got the floor.
How y'all doing today?
Yes, sir.
I was listening to some lectures, and, you know, one of the issues we got with our youth is education. And once again, I said education comes from the word educure, and educure means to bring forth and bring out.
Right.
And the problem is that our kids are getting a Eurocentric education. When Brown versus Board of Education back in 54 and got blacks to go to them white schools and so forth. Well, what happened was they didn't change the criteria of the school. They didn't change anything about what they taught in school. So at that particular time, everybody thought it was good to, you're going to get your kids, going to get a better education. No, they're going to get the same education that the Europeans got, and that education don't match up for us because school, you know, public school, I'm not a big fan of public school because public school represents public culture. Whose culture is this over here? So
public
what they
school.
Do is they brainwash. Yeah, they brainwash your kids right away. That's when they whiten them up, I say. You know, that's when they whiten them up. I was just checking out my son. As soon as they finished Black History Month, they went to talking about the Greek and the Romans, and everything the Greek and the Romans know came from Africa. But they never spoke on that. And I'm sitting up there, well, what are y'all working on today? He said, I'm talking about them Greeks and Romans again. Him learning about Greeks and Romans don't do him no good. Not no good.
Right.
So what we have to we actually really truly have to get control of our kids. And how do you get control of your kids? You take control of your kids. You have to take control of our children. We really do in all aspects. And what happens is we take our kids and we throw them in front of that white education and we think everything's going to be all right, you know, because they're in school, they're getting A's, so forth, and all of this stuff. Getting A's in what? Well, my right. son get an A in A in what? What did he get an A in? What did he get a B in?
Right.
What did he get a C in? What did he get a D in? To me, it's a failure because I right. can ask him, you know, of course, I'm teaching my son his history, you know, and beyond 1492 and 1619 because that's where they like to start and to have your kids thinking this is where we all started right here, you know, so. They don't know nothing about Africa, you know. They don't know nothing about the Moors. They don't know nothing about their history. So that's just like if you wake up tomorrow, brother, and you have amnesia and you don't know who you are, what you did, how are you going to function? You wake
right.
up tomorrow morning, you don't know who you are, what you did.
Right.
You don't even know your name. How are you going to function?
Right.
How are you going to function? Because your history's gone.
Okay. Right.
You see, so that's what happens to us. We got amnesia. Our history's gone.
No question.
Take away
that.
Your own personal history. Take away your own
right.
personal history. And just imagine
you're starting
what
over.
You would do tomorrow. Yeah,
right.
you'd be starting over. Right.
Yeah.
And so
it'd be like learning language.
Yes.
All over.
You'll be starting everything all over. You know.
Yes.
So my thing is that. Through the Afrocentric Cultural Development Corporation, what we're going to do is we're going to take control of our youth. We need to produce the type of young men and young women that's going to help our culture. And culture solves problems, and they need to solve problems. We need to put them in a situation where they're going to be beneficial to our communities.
To
help us.
Right.
That's what we want
right.
to do. We want them to go in to whatever institution of learning they go to. When they come out of there, they're coming out of there equipped to help their culture, their community, period. That's their goal when they start. Not to go
right.
put a black face on somebody else's power. See black folk, our people, we're afraid of power because we think something wrong with power. We think something wrong with
right.
power. We're afraid of power, but you need power to do anything. If you go to, you ever went
right.
to the store and bought some type of item that needed batteries, you didn't pay for the item and you got it home and you didn't open it up and they didn't send no batteries in there. You mad, you think they should have gave you the batteries. No, they shouldn't have gave you the batteries. They gave you the item, now go buy the batteries and you put the batteries in and you got some power. That item you bought,
right.
you were so excited about and you didn't lift it open and you ready to see what it does. And there's no batteries. See, man, it ain't got no batteries. No, we see, that's what's wrong with us. We ain't got no batteries.
You're
now,
right.
We ain't got no batteries, so don't let it work because we need power. And we get the power through our youth, you know, because I can look at some of my children and some of my friends' children, and we can see just how lost they are. And the reason they're
right.
lost is because of the education that they have. You know, they're getting caught up in a different way, like when I was lost. You know, and then
the call-in number. I'm sorry, because people was pressing, saying they couldn't connect. The call-in number is 914-205-5502. I see you this morning, brother. Good morning to all you all. If you just joined in, we in deep topic with the brother Hakeem Jabbar and myself. And the call-in number is 914-205-5502. Yes, sir, brother.
And this,
yeah.
just like you alluded to earlier, when you said that we need to build a nation. We need to build a nation.
Yeah.
You know,
we need
to build a nation. You know, because,
and
because what's
that's right.
We really in trouble right now. The way.
No question about
the
it.
The reason. Things are like they are now. It's because we're dealing with somebody else's nation. We just follow, we just get
right.
in line and follow right along with that Eurocentric mindset. You know, we always say, people always say, if it ain't right, if it ain't white, it ain't right, you know. Like we need somebody's approval. We don't even need their help. We don't need nothing from them. We got enough money. We don't need anything from them to move on. We keep waiting on somebody to give us something. Give yourself something.
And that's because of what you said, because of that loss of that information in there. You don't think that you have nothing, illustrious history, so therefore your accomplishments that you think that you have now, they're something according to where you come from. Oh, you just left from just being only a slave, and now you can drive around in Lexuses and Escalades and look like you're free. You can go from state to state and travel. So the history is lost. That hell, you are way more illustrious than that. So, yeah, people content.
Just like I was watching the trial about George Floyd. Listen how even in the jury selection, they don't give us no jury selection like that. They're not critical about how many blacks is on the jury and so forth, so forth.
Right.
You know, because the case is so high profile. And let me tell you where racism come in, and they just drop lugs in there about it. Do you know what they call that case on the news? The George
What's
Floyd
that?
Murder trial. George Floyd ain't on
right.
trial. That's the Derek Chauvin murder trial. Why they call it
right.
the George Floyd murder trial? Why they think he's the victim? He's not on trial. I've never heard that ever before. Why are they calling it the George Floyd murder trial? See that, what that sounds like? Huh?
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
So that's how
got
they
the
drop
whole...
stuff in.
Right.
And then it's so ridiculous how today the defense attorney said that the reason, one of the reasons in his open statement that this white devil kept his foot on that man's neck because he was distracted by the 8 bystanders that were there. He couldn't do both things at once, so he couldn't concentrate and do what he had to do with George because the bystanders, the crowd. So they're trying to blame it on the crowd to why this man.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole situation, how they're doing it. They're letting recordings of George Floyd's previous arrest. The judge allowed that. His previous arrest. What's that got to do with what's going on now? Just that's why I say those court systems, they're racist. And any of us that's been through the court system, we know.
So
you talking about being kidnapped? Talking about being kidnapped?
You sent me a case. You remember?
Yeah.
You sent me a case. And you know when you send me something, what I do, right?
Right.
I wouldn't dissect that case out of Oklahoma. It's talking about what you're talking about right now for all those listening.
Right.
The McGirt versus Oklahoma, or Grit versus Oklahoma, what's the name, whatever the name is. So it's dealing with what you're talking about, them criminalizing portions of Oklahoma that's under aboriginal, it's in aboriginal territory, that it wasn't set aside by Congress to be put under those corporate laws. See, but we don't understand that. But exactly what you're talking about, that's what's happening to us with these cases and what we're not seeing, what we call so-called justice, because we're under the black code laws, which are statutes that don't apply to aboriginal people. So they have a case in the South Carolina Supreme Court. It's an older case. It's the Sundry Free Moors Act. Ooh. And they was telling them, they was basically getting at the legislation in South Carolina, like, listen, we're not under these codes, these laws that you're putting these so-called blacks, these blacks under. They told them just that. Like, we're not under those black laws, what you got, because they got the black code laws that were sanctioned in 1774. People, listen, through the church. Man, Rome, because every time you go pay them tithes, you paying into the crucifixion. Believe that. So that's what's going on right there. So you don't people say, I understand people don't understand the lingo and all that, but when people get out, you guys, and we say, Black Lives Matter? No, it doesn't. And I know that seems hurtful to everybody, but you got to understand where it comes from, because obviously it don't. We've been screaming that forever. How many people got to get water hose, bricks, dogs sicked on them, and open lynchings, police killing them? You can keep screaming. That's like keep marching on Selma somewhere. Hell, that don't work. Hell, that the Black lives do not matter. We keep saying that. Why it doesn't matter? Because people not teaching that. That word black is a political status that's holding us down. Nobody teaches that. Oh, people always say, oh, you come from this and you're not this and that, but they never tell you that. This status over here. Roman law is predicated on status. It's always been like that. So the status now, different statuses in this union over here. And we don't understand that because we're put and ushered, as you said. We're not educated.
I hate
to educate.
And you know, I hate using the word black. I hate using the word black. What is black?
Right.
Right,
me too.
I tell people
sometimes they only know it like that.
I just use
that
terminology because that's what the people understand. So when you try to use something, that just goes to show you that little thing there is huge. You know, trying to convince people we ain't black.
Right.
You know, we just like you say, when I get the application, I don't put no black on there. I put other.
Right.
I'm not
right.
Black. You know,
right.
And, colored, Negro, black, African American.
Right.
Let me tell you something. When you go over, if me and you went to Europe tomorrow, and
right.
Them Europeans seen us, the first thing they're going to think, you're more. You're African.
Right.
That's what they're going to say until you open your damn mouth. Then they're going to say, oh, you're American black. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Right.
They was giving you your props when they said you're more or African. Then they turn around when they see you talk because they know that ain't your language, that ain't your voice. That's how they immediately identify you through that language, through that European language. They say, oh, you're American black, huh?
Right.
You know,
you the worst. You the worst off.
The only time I've ever seen America, even just call blacks America and take some pride in a black being American is in the Olympics. They don't call them black no more. They call them Americans. The Americans is running the 100-yard dash. The Americans run. Then you get over here and use a nigga again.
Right.
I don't even like that. You know, I don't even like. I just check out them Olympics. You know, they got all the black folks in track and field, and what do? They base it on their nationality. What do?
Right.
They don't base it on all of them being black. They base it on their nationality.
Their country and their nation getting the claims for their attributes, for their acclaims. Yeah, it's being accredited to them.
You see
nation.
That? You see that? They don't give us no.
But all yours
to that
getting accredited to who? All ours.
We go over there and they don't accredit to no. They don't say no black one won nothing. They say the Americans won. That kills me right there. I just get tickled when they say the Americans won. Now you are
and
American.
That, but now that word. Now we could take that word right there, American, and you could look in a new dictionary and it'd say one thing, right? And then you could go look up that same thing in an old dictionary, and it's going to tell you something totally different of what American is.
What
it's
is
going
it?
To hit you with that.
Tell
old
them what it say, brother.
Well, let me see what this one say. Let me see what this one say in here. My big one.
See, like,
you know,
I'm on the road. Would be foreign. It's foreign to our people. That's why they need to wake up and understand what the words say. What does it mean? Because we take these words and we just take them in, like for truth. For truth. You can be bombarded.
And see, like,
in your
and like
mind.
I'm traveling right now. I'm on the road traveling on business right now. So I'm at the resort in the bathroom, man. The little one and the girl and them and they're knocked out. So I'm sharing with the family right now. But I know for sure the old school dictionaries, when you go in there and look at the word of American in there, you're going to find out that it's a copper skin, when the aboriginal copper skin people over here in America, in this hemisphere. Now you get the newer ones, it's going to be changed. They could put anybody, just like the word native. They put anybody born in the United States jurisdiction as a native. So that's broad, hell. But that don't mean you the aboriginal. Yeah, let's get it straight. So that's what we're dealing with now. You know, me and you, for the people who listen, man, you know, we top it up all the time. So when we was talking about, when I said the title was for the strategy to circumvent discrimination, it was based on what me and you do and build all the time as far as building our businesses up, networking together with that, sharing information. That's the type of stuff that the family and that we have to do individually with ourselves and our family and then collectively with the whole family. Understanding, you know, you got different people that bring different things to the table, business-wise and otherwise, and we have to use those different components to make this whole. It's like Voltron, man. Yeah, the Transformers, man. We all need to, you might be one leg, I might be the other leg. That's a lot of the arm. You feel me? Leg, arm, head. You know, somebody a different part.
Right.
Click on. So uniting and pooling our resources in the advent of what's going on right now. And it's going to be an uphill struggle for our people, man, what's going on with the way they changing the financial structure over. Man, it's just to be walking dead, bro. And it's like people got to understand that it's simple as pooling your resources. A lot of us don't understand the credit and have credit, but you do have some little resources that you're giving to somebody else that's not benefiting you. Those tools and fuels that you're going to give it to somebody else every time you go get them, if you put them into self, you will see it. You feel me? So that's what me and you chop it up on all the time, man, and we could build that up into the people. Then, like I said, them trucks will be up there running. Man, we have so many trucks running up and down the highway. Yeah, we'll be our own nation, doing our own thing. Yeah, we got enough.
Exactly.
We just get it hard to the wrong
Marcus
people.
Marcus Garvey and
yes,
Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, demonstrated what can be done when you come together with some unity as far as business. They show what you
right.
can do. All he did, Marcus Garvey told black folks at the time, send me $1. Send me $1.
Right.
And he took that dollar and opened up numerous businesses, a shipping company, all kinds of businesses. And all he asked them for was a dollar. And they got together and gave that man a dollar. And what did he do? He opened up chapters all over the world. All over the
right.
world. You know. And it worked. Dollar. But the dollar
right.
had to come from everybody. You know, so just like how me and you are putting our resources together and we form the one company, and we're going to put all the companies under the one company, you know, just coming together the way we come together, we know it works because we're doing it. You know, we're doing it. We're actually doing it. And what they don't understand is you got to bring your money together. We don't need a lot. Just bring what you got to the table. That's all you got to do.
Right.
We got the plan. You know, if you don't got a plan, find somebody with one and follow that plan. You know, that's why I always say,
right.
Like I say, when you talk about the Black Lives Matter, my shirt say Black Dollars Matter. I got a Black Dollars Matter shirt, you know, because we in a situation where we need to create not income, but generational wealth. You know, generational wealth. When I leave here, I'm going to leave some wealth here that my kids can live on, his kids can live on, their kids can live on, you know, because that's what they did. They created generational wealth. That's why they got all the money, you know.
Right.
They made sure all of them that is dead, they got all, they, some kids of theirs got all that money, you know. I done seen a lot of times where, folks, it's people that passed away and they left the house, and instead of somebody going to the bank and taking the loan out the house and pay the rest of them off and keep the house, what they do, they sell a house. Now, here in Pittsburgh, you can see on School Street, it's turning Hispanic. Even over here in the new home,
that's
Pittsburgh, turning
that's
Hispanic.
California, right, man?
Yes. So what's happening is I can see the geographics changing, you know, where that was, where black folks owned houses in that area, black folks owned houses over here. Now the houses that was left to family members, they sold a house. They took that little money and they went and stimulated the economy with it and gave them white folks more money, more power, you know. And now, right. You know, it, over here it was all blacks. I was a kid. All this was black. Nobody knew over here was black folks. We called it the new homes because they was new homes. You remember that? The
right.
New homes, you know.
Right,
you,
the new
I
homes,
I grew up
yeah.
in the project, El Pueblo. We finna go to the new homes
right.
over here. You know what I'm saying to you? You know.
Right.
And even down that downtown on Odessa with First Baptist Church, it was Reverend Woods. He was Reverend Woods was a bad boy. And people don't even know
when that
they
was the
named
buzzer
Woods
room.
Manor after they named him. They named Woods Manor after him. So when he got that church, he told those people to buy them houses over there. So that, you know, all
oh,
that was a black
named
neighborhood.
After?
Yeah,
Reverend
Woods Manor named after Reverend Woods. Yes,
from Stewart Memorial.
Yes. No,
yeah, that
Reverend
was my
Woods
grandma,
was the first Baptist.
That was my great grandma. Huh?
First Baptist.
Oh, he's
church
first Baptist.
Odessa.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was my great great
auntie's
church.
House.
And I could go to both of them churches.
Yeah, Mama and Aunt Ellen went
yeah,
to that church.
Both of them.
He's the one that got them to buy those houses down there next to the church because they were building their own community. See
well,
them
okay.
days are gone. See, those
right.
days are gone. So I want to build a
right.
community center, and then I want all the folks to buy all the houses that's got something that's in proximity to the community center. See, we're building our own community. Now you have your own store.
Right.
You have all the places that black folks go spend their money. We need a black business so they can come spend their money at. That's building a community.
So,
what is community?
So
common unity.
So look at that, all them years in them communities. Now, you just spoke on some, and you just took me way back when you just started talking about Odessa, because I remember living on Montezuma, on 2nd and Montezuma. I was on the end to where the buzzer rule is, because I used to walk around the great-grandmama and great-great-auntie house and go to both of them churches, all that, right? So I seen
right.
the gentrification. They moved us out. We had property down there. I remember, man, listen, I remember when it was the Garden of Eden down there. There was so many trees. I mean, I could run from down there and go all the way to Marina Center, low court trees, pomegranate trees, man, almonds, figs, everything, man, all that stuff is gone. Them days is gone with fresh fruits, everything. They done took the fruits out the market. You got stuff that's genetically grown, no nutrients in it. You feel me? Like the times have just
no.
really changed where the prophet said, you got to go back. Noble Drew Ali said, we got to go back to the horse and buggy days. Well, what does that mean? Man, you got to get you some land, man, understanding, acquiring your land back and understanding who you are and growing your own food and those type. Because it's ugly right now, bro. It's so
yeah.
it's so evil and, yeah, it's the wicked machinations and high spirits of wickedness in high places.
I remember that Mr. Johnson, Mama's husband, we grew watermelons. We grew cabbage. They grew a lot of vegetables in the backyard. You know, I remember telling them, go back there and cut one of them watermelons. Go get one of those cantaloupes. That tripped me out. Go get some of them greens. I go in the backyard and cut the greens and bring them in. Out the backyard.
Yeah.
Not Safeway, not Winco.
Yeah.
Out the backyard. And then look what they did. They had a community center over there going down toward the water. What did they do? They turned it into a sheriff office training facility. Just killed the community center. Now it's a damn sheriff's office training facility. I remember going to play basketball,
now,
and I was 30-something years old. We were still going down to community center playing. See, they take them community. See, there's no more, like, everybody in my era grew up in the boys' club. You know, boys' club, you
right.
know. And what happens is, that's where you would get your sense of you. That's where you came together for competitive, you know, sports and other things. You know, you were grouped there. No fighting, no killing, no nothing. You know what I'm saying? You had mentors there. You know, that type of stuff. See, they take away what works. And we've never attempted to bring any of that back. You know,
listen,
the boys' club, Yeah.
What? I know exactly what you're talking about. The boys, man, they took all that type of shit.
Yes.
That was on Montezuma. That was on the train tracks on Montezuma. My pop coached that. That's what Tudor became champ, man, learning from the boys club right there is where he trained at. James Page.
See, what happens is when you start eliminating that you eliminate that type of stuff. We don't want them to come together for nothing. The only place I know in Pittsburgh you can go to somebody that's got a center going for our youth is Will Bonker. He's the only one I know.
Yeah.
Everything else is in church. You know, Will Bonker's the only one I know that has a place that is doing something for youth.
That's a blessing. That's really divine intervention right there, because I always had my eye on that building right there for that same purpose. And, you know, that's the building they built that building from the one downtown. They had burnt that one downtown behind 6th Street. And I used to play for the boys club. I told my pops used to coach. I was the youngest. All them old dudes was playing on the team. So we used to travel, man. We used to go Bay to Bay. Man, we'd be all in San Mateo, San Francisco. Man, we'd be playing, all the teams, man. You feel me? All across the bay, bro. And, man, they took that away when that burned down, and then they moved it over there. The whites and them was owned it. And they moved the property. They bought the property over there at Central Junior High School, and they took some years to build it because I was going to Central at the time. And we used to go through their plan. And then after that, it was never the same when they came back. All the traveling, they took that away, the vans and all that. It was over with. So, yeah, man, I understand, man. Like, I got a lot of exposure young.
We got a brother now. He got it now. He has the building. He's in control. He's doing good things over there. And the thing is that when your kids don't have no place to go,
right,
and intermingle with their people, you understand, they become ostracized from each other. No activity.
Right.
We had activity. That activity made it. Listen. We wasn't in no trouble when we was that age.
Right.
Because we had some activities. We had some positive activities. And what that did, that was taking control of our kids. That's how you take control of your kids. Give them an activity that's Afrocentric. Give them an activity. Give them something. You know, our kids do not strive to better our community. So if a kid ain't part of the village, he'll burn the village down. Don't you see the village
getting burned down? No question about it.
You see? And then it's like I always say, man, we don't need nobody but us. When you're the greatest and the latest, you don't need nobody else. You're already the greatest and the latest. Even if you don't know what you are, other people know.
Right.
Other folks know. They know who the latest and the greatest. I tell you, the only time these Europeans allow our people, to excel is when you see them in the sporting, because they're making money.
Right.
So they let them excel. Mm-hmm. You can be the best. You can be the best basketball, football, baseball entertainer you can, and nobody's going to stop you from going out there scoring 100 points because they allow you to excel. But when you're talking about other things, jobs, businesses, and so forth, they don't got roadblocks up. They got mountains in your way. They don't let you excel in the same way. They do not let you excel.
And with that too, because I wanted to talk too on the I've been doing some work with the prison litigation. That was really on my heart, man. Like, that prison litigation is tough because, like, people on the outside, they don't know being in them places. They think that, your people safe from the sirens or whatever. Not understanding it's just as violent in there. They're not understanding there's no health care.
More violent.
They're not understanding they're not understanding there's no health care. They're not understanding you being exposed to asbestos, lead, lead paint, black mold. All these different kind of things, you feel me, the psychological effects of being in there and being away from your people, and everybody else got issues going on. You in a mental institution, and you think that your people are really, really good, but they're not. And I wanted to really emphasize the brothers in the PM, man. I had extended this this session today for an extra 30 minutes because I wanted to elaborate on that today, too, and I wanted to give honors. I wanted to give praise to Allah, and I wanted to give honor today to Noble Drew Ali, man, because a lot of people don't know, and I like a lot of people go back, but they don't understand, like, before that, that's where a lot of why everybody grabbing what they grabbing from, because this deep what we dealing with over here in this hemisphere. We dealing with the same thing that Yahushua, with the way everyone called Jesus, was dealing with in his time. We dealing with that right now. And the Moors have a lot of forms, man, different forms out there. Like I study with the Moors Heritage and History School, and their motto is changing the literature. And that's what you're talking about. You know, we got to teach our children what it is. History is his story. We got our own story to tell. So we got to change the literature.
Yeah.
And I deal with sending them brothers a lot of literature. I mean, these pamphlets and stuff that I get, because I read them. They're so powerful. I mean, they're so little and powerful, and you boom, and they send you to the information in the European archives, in their codes and laws, because that's the only thing that the brothers and sisters believe. So you have to send them to the proof in the pudding, and that's what they do. They go tell you the law and what they're supposed to be on, and they go show you where the law is, what they're supposed to be upholding, the oaths and affirmation that these people have took and sworn to uphold. And you, in order to be a Moor, you have to be a lawgiver. You have to understand law then in order to make other people uphold law. So that's what Jesus, Yahushua, was doing. But the thing that what our detriment is, we holding on to this Jesus, and there's no such figure. And I'm sorry for the people who are out there listening. You can argue and whatever, and I'm not a scholar or whatever you call it, but it's just common sense. The language, the naming, he has different multiple attributes and names, whatever you want to call it, but Yahushua. The rabbis, the scholars, they know his name, and that name is a different history behind it. You feel me? As far as than what you got is Jesus with the 18 missing years in your Bible. He just disappeared from talking at 12 years old. He's disputing with the doctors of law in the temple, and then for 18 years you don't have no more of that? No more disputing, no more teaching?
Know,
just pops up at 30? So,
most of our people here, they practice what I call plantation religion, and that's where they got it from.
Right.
Now, like all the real black scholars say, they kill me and say, why would your enemy teach you something about the truth? Why would he do that?
Right. Right.
How is he going to give you a book and he's enslaving you, he's beating you,
right,
he's raping you, he's murdering you? He's doing all these things to you, and you accept the book he gave you. Who does that?
Right.
Who does that? So
right.
that is the biggest, one of the biggest issues we have, because if you check the world, that's how they dominate the places. It's through religion, false religion. That's what they use.
Right.
That's what they use.
Yes.
They use false religion to get to the people.
Yeah, they
because the fastest way you can brainwash the people is through religion.
Right. And people not understanding
so
that
our
foremothers and fathers
so,
introduced religion to the world.
Right. That's why it's important. That's why it's important for us to that's why I say you can't change a nation until you change somebody's mind. And that's what you and I are trying to do, change the people's mind. And when you know the truth and you just see people running to that falsehood, it always gives a bad taste in my mouth because it's unbelievable. It's just a matter of information. And why don't our people want to get to the truth? If we're telling the truth, it's the truth. Because you can hold on to something and believe it's the truth, don't mean it's the truth at all. What are you basing it on?
So,
go ahead. I was just interjecting.
If me and you understand, okay, we'll get to that too, that business thing. But I was trying to, the prisoners, I had the like I said, I got a movement going on with the Legal Empowerment Group and just helping the prisoners understand that no matter what you think you up against, that you've always challenged that jurisdiction. But you got to understand what jurisdiction is and the levels of jurisdiction. And you got to understand who you are in conjunction with the European forces, because you are foreign to Europeans. That's why you can never get justice in the court of law. The court of law is set up for you. It's against you. It's of European origin, and you are of a different. So yeah, you can't not get no justice. You're not going to have a jury of your own peers. It's not. You don't. You got to understand what it is. That's why it's not there. It's not your jurisdiction. That should show you right there. Man, they keep screaming this jury's of the peer, but you never get one of your peers. Okay, well, that tells you that you're in the wrong jurisdiction, man. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. It's simple. What they call common sense is not common because we've been dumbed down, but it's simple to see you're in the wrong jurisdiction if they don't look like you. When it's clearly that you all understand, we all understand, we keep hearing, we're supposed to have a jury of our peers. But we're not understanding why we're not getting one. So for the brothers and sisters out there, you need to understand you can always challenge jurisdiction. There's no statute of limitations for jurisdiction. And they have to have three jurisdictions, and they have to have all three of them. And one that you will be dealing with is, in particular, is in personam, which is dealing with the person. If they stand, they have jurisdiction of you, what type of person do they have jurisdiction of? Because remember, we went over this in previous shows about what a person is. There's an artificial person, there's a natural person. And then you challenge jurisdiction, they have to prove to you by what authority they have jurisdiction, because you're going to ask for that, the delegation of authority. And then it tells them what authority they have by Congress or whatever charter they have and what jurisdiction or they do or don't have. And see, you never get to that point because you either get attorney fixed on you or you hire one. And there's a lot of people in prisons who hire good lawyers, and they're still in jail because you don't understand the system. You don't understand that they're a part of the bar, the prosecutor's a part of the bar, and the judge is a part of the bar. Conflict of interest. I don't care if you buy him and spend all the money and think you the goat buying him and all that. His first oath and affirmation is to the bar and the Constitution, not to his clients. And you got to understand this. So this is what's going on. And like I said, I have the Legal Empowerment Group. You can reach them at Legal Empowerment Group 101 at Gmail. There'll be a website coming up soon for that. But we've just been working with the brothers. And know what they've been studying, brother? They've been there studying Nobhadhru Ali, bro. I ain't even going to lie, bro. And they see it. They see it the same way I was in them dismal crypts for 14 years. And I was like, man, you know what? If I had somebody, I seen it. I knew that Allah had sent us one, because the books tell us, man, they send prophets and messages to everyone. But these so-called scholars in Islam want to tell you that no prophets can come no more. Stop Allah. Don't speak of that. Oh, man, I beg to differ. Man, when the light been dimmed out, Allah is merciful. He definitely going to raise up one. And I got to admit, we've been dumbed down more than anybody I done read about in history. Hell, we done forgot everything. So we sure need one more powerful than all the other ones, but combined with the same force.
That's why.
Did you hear me?
That's why I talk about that amnesia. That's where that amnesia comes in. You know, when a person, listen, all you got to do is not tell somebody the truth, and they're going to be living that lie.
Right.
Just don't let them know what the truth is. You know what it say. Put the book behind their back. They take the book behind their back, and then they feed you the garbage when they know what the truth is.
Right.
They know what the truth is. You know, even in little bitty things, you know, even in little bitty things, this amazes me sometimes what my people really believe in. You know, like they believe in certain things, and they take that belief to heart, and it be so far from the truth, it's incredible, you know. So that comes back to that education system. That's why I always say to me, in my mind, and people can take it how they want, but the real soldiers, the ones that's going to come out and make a difference, is where did Malcolm come out of? The penitentiary. He came out of prison. Out of prison. Now, you just think if we spread, not just so much, just using Malcolm as an example, now, you see what one Malcolm did. Just think what 100 right-minded brothers would do to change the world if you had 100 of the mindsets come out here. See, that's what made the Nation of Islam really strong, is because they recruited out of the prison, because they know that they'd been in the lion's den. You know, they'd seen it. You know, when you're in prison, you face that racist shit at a different degree than people out here. See, people out here, our folks think they free. But when you in there, you look at it different because you face it every day from them devils. Every day you get it. Every day you get it. So you understand what freedom is at a different level. So that's like my whole disposition of how I think came from in prison, my imprisonment, you know. That's where it came from. Something changed in me right there, you know. And it put me on this crusade, you know, because before I went to prison, I was out here called up. I can just look at my life and see where I was programmed, where I was dumbed down, where what I thought was the truth was a lie. I could see all that in me. All that in me. I could see what I accepted as being the truth. And that's what hurt me, and I lived by that. And then I had a distorted view of my people. You understand what I'm saying to you? I did.
Right.
I did have a distorted view of my people. And I think that prison reform is one of the things that we're going to deal with, because that's what a soldier's is at to me. You can find some. You can
no,
find
we're not
some,
dealing with
some platinum.
And I don't mean to cut you, because we're running on our last 30. We still got about 30 minutes, but we ain't doing. I said that wrong myself earlier. I got to be astute with my speaking, man, because I know the Moore is listening. I'm a Moore, man. I got to speak right, man. We ain't doing no prison reform, man. We shutting down the prison penal system. That's what we doing. It's not for us. That's what they just did in Oklahoma. That's what the whole case was about. The Supreme Court just told them you cannot criminalize on the east side of Oklahoma. It's not been set aside for Congress for criminalization. It's Aboriginal land. You've been criminalizing these people, sending them to the feds in the states all the time. I have so many natives, Shelley, and I used to be spitting that Noble Drew to them. They used to be like, man, this sound right what you're telling me. My grandma told me she wished she wouldn't have never did two things. She wished she wouldn't have never signed on to the tribes, and she wished she wouldn't have never got a birth certificate. That goes in with you. What's going on? That's what the prophet told us. What they doing? Made you into something. Created you. So the Indian tag too. That's coined. That's coined by the European. So why they said that? So that case told them, hey man. So now all that revenue they've been getting, them billions of dollars they've been getting for criminalizing everything, putting people over in all them territories that haven't been set aside, they can't get it no more. It's gonna crush the economy. The whole east side of Oklahoma, so now that's a template for the other 50 states, because you got to remember, in Oklahoma, those are the five, it's all the concentration of the five civilized tribes. Listen, Black America, because you all have descendancy from there. Quit getting on Ancestry, looking for way over in Africa, all them other places, because your DNA is everywhere. You're the original man and woman, so it's going to be everywhere. But focus right here. You got land entitlements right here, and you're looking too far. That's what they want you to do. Everybody say you native? Yeah, you native. You aboriginal native. So when you find your family tree here, that's what's going to tie you to your land and your resources. That's all you have to do. So that's where the hoodwinks have been going on right there, the bamboozle. That's what Malcolm X said. Yeah, you're not understanding that you right here, and they keep saying Indian, this all the divide and conquer. Mexican, all the divide and conquer. Puerto Rican, all the divide and conquer. I mean, y'all are the same people. If you put you in the cage and they call you, you all look like a nigga to y'all one of them until you open your mouth in whatever language you speak. And whatever language you speak is just a result of the person that conquered you. If you speak English, if you speak Spanish. So you got to study Spanish. And you need to speak Spanish, Black America. That's what Prophet Noble Drew Ali told us is a second language, because your history is in Spanish. Why wouldn't it be if you conquered and had Spain for almost 900 years, 800 years? Hell, you got to know Spanish. You got to know Latin. That's part of your language. So you go study history, and you see the different names they have you under in history, Saracens and Berbers and different names, huh? That's all you got to go do. It's out there. The paper trail is there. So we have to be studious, and when we talk about changing the literature, that's what we have to do, go back and understand that we've, a lot of this stuff has been the stroke of the pen. The stroke of the pen moves you here and there and put in place what's going on. But that ain't what it is, man. It's a new era of time now, and it's time for us, the minds of the children. Yeah, they don't want to go to school. I used to hear when I was going away, they said, oh, your son don't want to go to school. Why would he want to? You went to school. Your grandmama went to school. Her mama went to school. And everybody, the same educated fools, ain't got shit. What the fuck I don't care if they go don't want to go to school for? They ain't learning shit. Once you know the ABCs, hell, that's all you need for that school education. So I understand what you're saying with the Afrocentric stuff. Yeah, we got to teach them stuff about the knowledge of self and the illustrious history in this hemisphere. Yeah, why all these monuments erect
it is
here?
Is that you gotta have a starting point. You gotta have a platform to be able to take control of the kids, and that's the platform that I plan on using to get them the correct information. You know, we gotta, like me, I operate better when I got a platform, when I got a foundation that I can build from there. So that's my foundation that I'm going to build from, just like Marcus Garvey built from his foundation. Nation of Islam built from his foundation. You know, everybody has to have a foundation to build from, so that's what I'm going to build from, that particular foundation, you know, and get them the correct information about everything that they need to know, you know, because a lot of black folks just don't know. So I'm a put myself in a position where I can teach, where I can show them. Here, you know, like we talked about with the with our how we go about with the understanding the birth certificate and all the stuff that we talk about and so forth. See, that stuff isn't taught. And that stuff is only taught very few places. So I get a chance from this platform to teach that, to put it forth, you know, and then get the parents to understand, hey, look, this is what we need to do. If I don't have a platform or some outlet to do it, just like you got this outlet here on this Blog Talk Radio show. See, that's an outlet to put forth this information. So you always have an outlet. So that's the outlet. When I say prison reform, I'm just meaning in a sense of I'm going to be, see, you know, like when you got, when, like you say words, so you have to use the right verbiage. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, so I'll use whatever verb is necessary.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to use whatever verb is necessary to move forward. You understand that? That's how I look at it right there. So, one of the reasons I'm creating this platform is because I believe that through this foundation, I'll be able to build from right there. I can build this house, you know, because I'm in control of the information. This ain't no public school here, you know. So that's, and like I say, when we use the verbiage, I have to use the verbiage that people understand, you know, until I can get them to overstand. Right now, I have to use what, you know, we try to use what they understand because it's what they understand. If you ever talk to a Hispanic person and he doesn't have a lot of English, then you have to break the word down and try to use the right verbiage for him to understand you. So that verbiage ain't going to be too sophisticated, you know. No. You know, like you start using your hand, you become demonstrative, and you're trying to explain something to him, and then all of a sudden he gets, okay. He understands. You understand what I'm saying, T? But you have to find the correct verbiage for him to understand, and that's how I look at it with my people. I got to find the right avenues that they understand and work from there. I have to speak to them at their understanding level, not mine. So that's an issue all within itself right there. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And
but
that's cool too. That, and you know, a lot of times they always say that sometimes, you know, it's some things are not for everybody. Some people you can't feed pearls to swine. It's different angles with that. And like I use this for example. Like I've never been one to teach by dumbing down or beating around, like even with like my siblings, especially, like I said, that's how I always taught. Like, so when I go and like, for instance, my youngest niece, everybody tripped off me for a bunch of months how me and her relate, how I talk to her, how me and you talk, because I did the same thing with my junior. You see, I talked to him from a baby when he had a pacifier in his mouth. I shed tears. I come in from doing my dirt, talk to my never gaga goo goo ever in my life. I don't do it with my niece. I don't gaga goo goo. If an alien around, we might speak the is no and gaga, but I talk straight just like this. And you know what? You'd be amazed at what people understand and relate to when we thought they didn't. Because right now, her mom and them a bear witness be like, her understanding is so... Man, at 18, 19 months, bro, her understanding, I don't talk, I don't play that. I talk to her straight. Mm.
Hey, man, I look up.
But with her mom and other people, she deal with them totally different with me. She give them the shit.
But with me, it's straight, understand everything and go to where they have to see it, understand, like, okay, I ain't going to let you do that to me because I understand your intelligence is way higher than that, and you playing me for a fool, so her mama understands that now. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying because Keely was reading that too. Everybody around here, though. I had my baby read that too. I had him, I had him like Keeney when he was 3 years old. I saw him a flashcard and say, "Who is that?" He'll say, I said, "Who is that?" I said, "That's Benjamin Banneker." I say, "What did he do?" Oh, he laid the blueprints for Washington D.C. and he created the first clock. You know, he knew that at
Ben Banneker Bay.
So I understand that I everybody see me like the other day, a guy saw me. He said, "Man, I never forgot when I seen your son reading all those things." So everybody say, "What's the little professor doing?" And I was just trying to prove a point, demonstrating to my own child that you can teach a kid anything. You're waiting.
Yeah.
You're holding a kid back. I was.
We are.
I was meaning it in reference. As far as that when you speak into people, you know, children are a little different because they open for learning. But when you get a 20-year-old, he ain't open no more for learning anymore in the same aspect as a child. You know.
And that's
so
why
I was saying,
and that's why
I was saying it in that
and
sense.
That's
like,
why
when I'm talking to speak.
Right. But see, that's why I wanted to speed you up. See, because we don't have time for the old niggas. I got to just say it right. See? Because that's what's holding us down. The 20 and above, that's why the prophet said, this is where I came for the children. And he said 20 and younger.
Yeah.
Because, see, I dealt with them in the penitentiary. When them ones coming through the door that's 18 and I seen them coming in and looking like my baby son, and I talked to them and shed them tears and give them that game, they used to come and talk to me, OG, and come sit in the room and talk to me and listen, even though they was under other orders and other acts. I see they still have the acquisition. They want to get books and stuff that you was reading. But these old Negroes don't want to know nothing. That's why I say I don't sit my audience for them. I don't give a fuck about the older ones who want to run and keep going and doing what they've been doing. They going to learn from the young. Listen, Jesus, we believe Jesus talked from the cradle to the grave from a baby. But we hold our children back as a baby. And we wait till they're 18 and we put them in this incubator and keep them back. But like you taught your child.
Let me tell you what happened. That's following Eurocentric education. That's what the problem is. It's because they say at this age you should do this. They put a number on it.
Right.
And our people follow those numbers. That's the problem.
Right.
See, they follow those numbers. You know, I remember when my daughter had her twins, and they gave her a chart. At 1 month, the baby should be doing this. At 3 months, the baby should be doing that. At 4 months, I told her to go down and say, listen, look at that shit. Who said that? What are they basing that on?
Dumbing them down.
You know, so they give them numbers. At 18, you can do this. At 13, you can do this. At 16, you can go get a job. See, they give them numbers, and our people follow those numbers. That's where they get thrown off.
They
that's
was
right there.
They was kings at 12, 10.
So they get them thrown off right there. You know, that's where they throw our kids off at right there. They put them numbers on there. At this time, your child should be doing this. That's what they child should be doing. That ain't what your child. Your child gonna do whatever you teach them. And I don't care what age. It's a genius in our kids. There's a natural genius in our children.
Yeah.
And you got to bring out that genius. Just like I said, my son, he's really articulate because I was 48 when he was born. So he wasn't around everybody. He wasn't around other kids. He was around older people that could speak, you know, good English and words. So he picked up the words along with what I was teaching him, you know. So he was fortunate enough to. So right now today, he's more articulate than me at 13, you know. I have to think about what I say, which I do most of the time. But I'm saying the way his pronunciation and how he explains things, he's articulate at his age. He don't have to wait 15, 16. That's why I remember one of my partners say, you know, the problem with your son is that people, when they talk to him, they think he's a teenager. He's not a teenager. He's only 12. He's not a teenager. So he's going to do some of the things that a 12-year-old do. So I just, my thing is that I got to get that Eurocentric kick out of him. I don't want him basing whatever he do on Eurocentric ways. I just don't. I don't want that.
Right.
I think that hurts him.
Right.
That's why he's not like his, like when he go to school, you know, he ain't, you know, our kids can't just be, you know, we're just so caught up, our youth is so caught up and in the wrong direction. I you know, we say green. What does green represent? New, fresh, you know. So
right.
Of course we got.
Right.
Of course we have to get at. That's why I say, getting control and taking control of your children, not your grown children.
Right.
They're already gone.
They're already
right.
Gone.
Right. No matter what you say to them, no matter what you demonstrate to them, a lot of them are caught up in seeing some other stuff in life. You know, their mind is full of
right.
some other stuff, and they really think that stuff is happening. Yeah, it's
right.
it's a big illusion. It, you know, America's the biggest magician in the world. You ain't got to go to Vegas to see no show. Just wake up every day. The magic is in front of you. You know, it's going down. You know what I'm saying to you? That's why I'm chasing the youth, because I know if I can change those minds right now, if I can catch them, you know. And I practice what I preach right to my son. I practice right on him. I use him. He my guinea pig. You know, and he gets it.
Right.
And he's getting it. He's getting it.
Right.
He gets it.
No question about it.
You know, he gets it.
No question.
And I explain to him, I'm pro-black. I'm not anti-anything. But I'm for mine and you for yours. That's how we got to operate in this world. You know, we got to try to look out for our own. You don't need no help. You know what I'm saying, T?
You got
a computer. So the computer crashed. You know what I told you? Fix it. You own it enough. You should know how to fix it. Fix the computer. I'm not taking it over there and getting nobody no money for something you be on every day. You fix it. And he fixed it. He figured out how to fix it. He fixed his own computer.
Right.
You know, just because he knows he can do things, he can figure it out. Fix it. Fix it.
Right.
He wanted to upgrade his computer and get more speed. Find out what you need to do it. He found out I bought him the parts. He took that computer apart and put it in there. He's learning on his own. Do it yourself. You don't need nobody to help you fix it. You know.
Now, remember.
You know.
Right.
Go ahead.
Finish up, bro.
You good? No, I just, like in, since we've been engaging, you know, since you come home, since we've been engaged, I can learn so much from you. I can tell just looking at you. Like somebody is going to look at you based on what they knew you to be and not who you are today. You understand? That's what they're going
right.
to look at. Now, I know that you've done more than a 360. You understand? So if somebody
right.
talked to you today that talked to you 14 years ago, that's not the same person. Period. Who was that person back then? Who in the hell is that?
Right.
do you understand what I'm saying? And what
right.
changed you? Knowledge.
Right.
Knowledge.
And from info.
You got
right.
formed through knowledge. And that's when I tell people knowledge is power. Now guess what you got going for you? Some power. Huh? 14 years ago, me and you would have been on no blog talk radio.
Wouldn't even thinking
you know,
about
but
it.
But the knowledge changed. Like, so I have to give all kudos to you because you my cuz, and I watched. You always been intelligent, articulate, all that stuff was there. But look at what happened when it's placed in the right place. Look what happens
with
when
you,
it's
I
in
could
the
tell,
right place.
I for everybody listening, I could tell that story around to you. Shoot, that's what I learned from you. Shit, I watched you go through your struggle while we was both out there, and I watched you do it. Man, 360, don't describe it. Now, I always go back
you know
and tell people, man. I tell them all the time, a lot of stuff that I tell them, I always mention, man, with the game that you gave me on stuff, man, from going to New York, getting the clothes, and just all that, man. When you was out there in the streets, man, you was on crack doing that stuff.
Coke.
You saw it in me.
I was on coke.
Man, you was on coke,
listen,
man, doing that.
People.
Yeah.
Okay. So you remember when I was on coke, right? And you was like
yes,
my protector.
Sir.
You wouldn't let nobody do nothing to your cup. That, and I was saying,
yes, sir.
I was saying, where Javar's at? I'm going to go get the fire.
yes, sir.
So you would let people know, hey, man, that's my cousin, man. Don't be messing with my cousin or whatever, whatever. So people that meet me today, they don't know I went through that. They don't
right.
know I was, you know, they don't know that. You know, the haters
right.
always talk about, I remember when that nigga was on coke. You know, that hating stuff. I remember when that nigga was on coke. I remember when that nigga was this. I remember that. I don't know why we are like that as a people. Instead of saying, man, he's a changed man. He's doing his thing now. You know what I'm saying to you? So forth. So just within ourselves, what knowledge can do. Just within ourselves. What was it that changed? It was what we know that changed. It was what we know.
Right.
That's what changed us. What changed us is what we know. So what's important to me is giving them the information, you know, changing their knowledge base. You know, and like you say, you got to mess with them children. And I mean children. I'm talking about 3 on up. You got to start programming them at 3 on up.
Yeah. To be world leaders in our nation.
Yeah, it's amazing because even when we started, just like right now, like you taught me everything about that, about business credit. I didn't know nothing about that stuff right there, you know. I'd have been, all them businesses I had, if I'd have known what you've been telling me, I'd have had $10 million, and that ain't no exaggeration.
I said to myself, if I would have had the contact with people that I needed to and could have put my mind in them prior to coming home, they would have been multimillionaires, and I would have came home smooth sailing in my business and all the flow too. But now I have to reteach and educate as I move along, which really slows down the whole family.
It's amazing. It's amazing when you start knowing things and you start getting not any knowledge, the correct knowledge, you know, because there's layers to knowledge. You know what I'm saying, T? You know.
Right.
And once you get to that one point where you start understanding, especially when you were explaining to me, you know, how I'm going to, you know, do my birth certificate. I know that's another conversation and all that old stuff right there, you know. That's incredible to me right there because, see, that was some knowledge I didn't know. I always say seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. You know what I'm saying, T?
Right.
That's how I look at it, you know. I always tell people I didn't wake up till I was 40 years old when I had the knowledge, but I wasn't using the knowledge. You know, it
right.
didn't do me any good because I wasn't exercising it. That's like having a weight set. You want to tone your body up and everything. You got the weight set, but you don't never use it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just never use it. So I the reason I'm creating, like I say, that platform is so that I can build from that platform, you know, and I can build it the way I want to build it because it's my house. You know, I got to get
right.
out of their house, you know, and get
right.
them in my house. You know what I'm saying? That's,
right.
that's my goal. But once I get them in the house, I got the info for them. I just got to get them to the house, you know.
Right.
Got to get them to the house.
So on our next,
even this radio.
So on our next one,
this radio show is part of the foundation because we're building here.
Right.
We're giving information. We're giving them the truth.
Right.
We have an outlet to give the truth. You know, and the people, like they always say, the truth will set you free. If you ain't free, it's because you ain't got the truth. That's what the problem is.
Right. So the next show, we're going to go back in and tie back in this how to circumvent the discrimination as far as unifying, pooling our resources, like creating a hedge fund, a trust fund so we can invest and stuff. And then we'll go over the business formation and the tiers, understanding how we can work together. And, man, it's so easy and create
yeah.
something this big. You know, and
easy.
we'll go on that.
Easy.
So I had set this show up today because we usually do 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for our listeners, 5 o'clock Pacific, 5 a.m. Pacific, 7 a.m. Central, and 8 a.m. Eastern time, usually Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for an hour of their slots. But I did it for an hour and a half today because we have been having technical difficulty, and I wanted to, it was on my heart to end this end this or begin it, so I'm going to end it today, just giving praises to Allah and the honor to Noble Drew Ali, the prophet. And it's like a lot of people don't know and understand, and like I'm not going to say anything to harm or injure any of our family members or loved ones out there in different groups or ways, but if you go study the history and the timing, the prophet was born in 1886. He died, past form, 1929. So what you have out there in the rural today, I'd give honors to Prophet Noble Drew Ali, and he had a forerunner. His name was Marcus Garvey. And study the history of the Marcus Garvey and the time that he was running around here, and find out how did Marcus Garvey get out of Atlanta Federal Penitentiary, and who got him out, and by what, and what did he use to get him out? See, because we're teaching about nationality and that you are not Negro. See, they thought they had jurisdiction to Marcus Garvey, but he had a brother that was out here that was moving, that he was the forerunner to, just like John was. So I wanted to let the people know that it's a lot of stuff that people use out there in different degrees and stuff, but they have their roots, and you can just check into it. But this prophet that we have was sent to the blacks of America for a reason, to break the Roman yoke, to show you that you're not Negroes, blacks, and colored for a reason. And I wanted to end today for the family that's listening, for all you that might not pick up something and go read. There's a book out there. It's called Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation. It's by Elihu Pleasant Bay. Man, powerful. I mean, come on, a powerful book. This is a book I had 14 years. Somebody sent it to me in the last 3 years of my sojourn. And listen, it changed my life while I'm here with y'all today. That and the Black's Law Dictionary, that changed my life. So I want to read this chapter right here because it was on my heart. And so much you said today, brother, kept going back to this. And I don't want to cut you off because I have to learn that more, to listen more too, because I'm sharing slots with you. So I have to make sure that you got your views and going on without me cutting in. So I was taking a lot of notes and sitting back and waiting for my chance to go in with the family to give them this to end on. But we did have a prophet that came here, and I bear witness to it, man. I just studied, and I just looked at it, and I seen his sojourn from here to Egypt, over to Mecca, and the name they gave him. And, oh, man, I just see it, man. It's like we living on them times right now, and everybody waiting for Jesus to return. But who are you looking for? Because that 2,000-year-ago body not going to be there. It's going to come in another spirit. And it's already came to us, man, right here. And it's hidden, and they don't want you to know because you them people and you at home. So I want to read this chapter, and that's going to end and conclude our show for today. And I want to thank all y'all. And like I said, My reaching point is, and when I finish up, I know it'll be enough time for the brother to get his slots in, but I'll give you the reading, the points where you can reach me and contact information when I finish this chapter. But I want you guys to understand that we have one, a divine one, come amongst us, and there's a lot of people out there know, and a lot of people, like I said, they're not going to tell you. They'll tell you that you're not black and stuff, but they're not telling you that that's the reason that your status is the way it is over here, and it's taking you away from your homeland. And this brother told you exactly who you are, and the only one that's being that, and that's what I'm giving honor to, Noble Drew Ali. So this chapter is called The End of Time and the Fulfilling of the Prophecies. It's out of the book Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation by Elihu Pleasant Bay. And also, for further note, Morris Heritage and History School has them in a forum at rvbaypublications.com. Give up a lot of good information, and brothers and sisters be working over there. Sisters and brothers. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so it says, the end of time and the fulfilling of prophecies. The last prophet in these days is Noble Drew Ali, who was prepared divinely in due time by Allah to redeem men from their sinful ways and to warn them of the great wrath which is sure to come upon the earth. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Yahushua in those days to warn and stir up the nation and prepare them to receive the divine decree, which was to be taught by Yahushua. Yahushua means Jesus for all who don't know. In these modern days, there came a forerunner who was divinely prepared by the great God Allah, and his name is Marcus Garvey, who did teach and warn the nations of the earth to prepare to meet the coming prophet, who was to bring the true and divine creed of Islam, and his name is Noble Drew Ali, who was prepared and sent to this earth by Allah to teach the old-time religion and the everlasting gospel to the sons of men, that every nation shall and must worship under their own vine and fig tree and return to their own and be one with their father God Allah. the Moore Science Temple of America is a lawfully chartered and incorporated organization. Any subordinate temple that desires to receive a charter, the prophet has them to issue to every state throughout the United States, etc. He was giving out charters. That's for organization, but we talking about the nation right here. That the world may hear and know the truth, that among the descendants of Africa, there is still much wisdom to be learned in these days for the redemption of the sons of men under love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. We as a clean and pure nation descended from the inhabitants of Africa do not desire to amalgamate or marry into the families of the pale-skinned nations of Europe, neither serve the gods of their religion, because our forefathers are the true and divine founders of the first religious creed for the redemption and salvation of mankind on earth. Therefore, we are returning the church and Christianity back to the European nations, as it was prepared by their forefathers for their earthly salvation. Oh, all hell go break loose, Suleiman Bey. You didn't read that and say that, did you? While we, the Moorish Americans, are returning to Islam, which was founded by our forefathers for our earthly and divine salvation. The covenant of the great God Allah, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be longer upon the earth land, which the Lord thy God Allah has given thee. Come, all you Asiatic of America, and hear the truth about your nationality and birthrights, because you are not Negroes. Learn of your forefathers' ancient and divine creed, that you will learn to love instead of hate. We are trying to uplift fallen humanity. Come and link yourselves with the family of nations. We honor all true and divine prophets. And you know what's so a trip, brothers and sisters, as we end this session? Not knowing something is really deep. Because a lot of people think when you say you're a Muslim or a Muslim or something that you don't believe in Jesus or whatever, you got to understand, folks, you guys we're dying from a lack of information. And when I open up my Moorish Quran every day, it tells us that it teaches us about Yahushua. That's all it's about. It's about the 18 missing years that we never had in our Bible. So if you love Jesus, what our prophet says, then you should love to read these lessons. It says, these secret lessons are for all those who love Yahushua and desire to know about his life, work, and teaching. Yeah. So it said, dear mothers, teach these lessons to your little ones that they may learn to love instead of hate. Dear fathers, by these lessons, you can set your house in order and your children will learn to love instead of hate. So brothers, families, hey, we're going to be giving this information out to you. It's for you to go back and study and investigate and cross-reference and go study yourself. Go study whatever you follow. Go study the roots of it. That's what etymology is, studying the roots of the word. Go study the roots of your language, the roots of your so-called culture, your religion. Go study all that stuff. My forum to be reached, you can reach me at Almoor, that's A-L-M-O-O-R, AlmoorConsultationLLC.com. You could reach me at health.moor, M-O-O-R, at yahoo.com. And for those dealing with prison litigation, you can reach me at legalempowermentgroup101@gmail.com. In conjunction with the Health Helping Earth Acquire Life Through Humanity nonprofit organization. Brother, you can leave your information for the family.
Well, we're waiting on the Europeans to give us the 501c3 status, and that should come this month coming up, inshallah. And then I can, you know, create the web page and the phone number and all the information that everyone's going to need. I didn't want to put a web page and everything to it, and I don't have all my official documents. So when we get all that, probably inshallah, this month coming up, I'll have
you got
all
an email site
where you can contact me. No, I don't have an email or anything set up because I don't want to set up. I just didn't set up anything until I get the official paperwork. Okay, with a go. Because I set all that up and do all those things, you know. So we're really not we're still building the foundation, and one of the key components is getting that paperwork, as you know, from the Europeans. And then once I get that, then I'll have all the information on how to contact us.
Okay, until then, we go blog talk. We go blog talk radio on the morning drip. Yeah, we go drip like that and do it that way. So we appreciate y'all coming, and y'all all tune back in. We will be back on This is on Wednesday, so we will be back on Friday morning.
Came through drippin', diamonds on my wrist, they trippin'. Came through drippin',